This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
From the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, if you don't mind. Acts chapter 2, well, actually just verse 17 in the reading. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. When you have it, say amen. Begin reading now.
And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all the flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk about these are the last days. These are the last days. Peter is writing and giving us a reminder of what the prophet Joel said in the second chapter of Joel, chapter 2, verses 28 through verses 32. And he's really reminding us of the prophecy of Joel. Peter is not making this up. He's not speaking this from revelation of himself. He is reminding us from the Spirit of the living God what God promised centuries earlier. One of the things that I must help us understand is the importance of the day when Pentecost had fully come. God is so gracious and God is so faithful that in the period before Pentecost, God's Spirit came and dealt with men and instructed men and utilized men for God's glory to accomplish God's assignments. God's anointing was God's Spirit acting in and upon men to do what God had required or requested. The truth of the matter is that God saw a day when he would not just have his Spirit to come and deal with man, but rather to dwell in man, so that man would be able to live a full and fruitful life. Just as Jesus' ministry, when he was baptized of John in the Jordan, and the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove, he was filled with a measureless amount of the supernatural power of God, the Holy Ghost. It was through this same anointing that Jesus had from the beginning of his ministry until the end of his earthly life. He functioned and flowed with the power and presence of the Holy Ghost. It is the desire of Jesus, our first comforter, to have that same power from the other comforter abide in us, since Jesus has left planet Earth and assumed his position on the right hand of the throne of God, his Father. One of the things that's interesting is the fact that even before Jesus came and took on the form of human flesh and was born of a virgin, as had been prophesied in Isaiah's prophecies, Joel has also made this prophecy about the Holy Ghost coming after Jesus' time, but because, excuse me, Jesus had already said in this first chapter of Acts, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And he went on to tell them what they would do, but it all surrounded around being able to be the proper witnesses of him. I got news for you, brothers and sisters. Everybody is not a good witness for the Lord. Everybody who says they're saved, everybody whose name is on a church roll, is not necessarily a good witness for the Lord. And one of the needful things that must be a part and apparent in your life to be the witness the Lord wants for you is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So in Acts chapter 2, when the Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, had fully come, which meant that it was the Holy Ghost's time and season now. He was the third part of the Godhead. God had his part in biblical history with man. Jesus had his part in the Gospels with man. Now the Holy Ghost has his part with man and the Gospel and the Word of God. And so all three have played a monumental part in the Word, the will, and the way of God. That's why it's so important now that the people of God have the person, the presence, and the power of the Holy Ghost in their lives, because as Brother Curtis Bell and the choir sung, it's wartime now. And I don't know if you know it, but if you don't know it, you are losing if you don't have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, fighting battles you can't even see with your eyes. That's why, listen, Paul admonished us to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How many of you know the devil don't fight fair? The devil will fight you when you're hurting. The devil will fight you when you're down. The devil will fight you when you're weak. The devil will fight you when you're not even looking for a fight. And so you've got to know, you've got to always be ready. But when you're not ready, the Holy Ghost is. And when he lives on the inside of you, takes up residence in this body, your temple, it is the Holy Ghost who does everything for you you cannot do for yourself. And that's why we need to recognize we need to have the presence, the person, and the power of the Holy Ghost working on the inside of us. Verse 4 of that second chapter says, they all were filled. Men and women were filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Again, this is in part of the promise that God made that he would pour out of his spirit on all flesh the ability to have the Spirit of God, to be able to prophesy, to be able to speak in tongues. And so, my brothers and sisters, while all of this was meant to enhance our experience on earth and to make us the proper witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, we must recognize that without the Holy Ghost, we fall short. Do you know when you have the Holy Ghost residing on the inside of you, there is a divine wisdom that God shows you and shares with you and makes you aware of, causes you to be able to discern and become wiser and open your spiritual eyes to things your physical eyes cannot see? I want you to just read 5 verses, and I'm going to be through here with me. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's begin at verse 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. And when you have it, say amen. Amen. And when more of you have it, say amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. What does it say? I can see you understand what you're saying, but it's hard for others to understand what you're saying. Can I get a reader? Can I get a reader? And I want to read these verses and share with you something so important to understand. See, you've got to realize what Paul is talking about. He's not talking about the wisdom of this world. He's talking about the wisdom of the Holy Ghost. He's talking about that supernatural wisdom that comes only through the Spirit of God that will give man the advantage of being in a disadvantaged world. Why you need the Spirit of the living God operating in you now is because we are in the last days. Men have become more wicked than ever before. We're hearing of things, we're seeing things, people are doing things they've never done before. And you've got to realize, my brothers and sisters, we are the ones through which God is operating in these evil days to try and save as many folk as we possibly can from the enemy and all the works that he's doing in this last day. Rita, begin to read that verse again. 2:6.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world.
That's right.
Nor of the princes of this world that come to naught.
Amen. He's making clear, listen, our wisdom is not of this world. It's supernatural wisdom. It's the wisdom of God that God shows us. There are those who are perfect. There are those who are the scholars. There are those who are the intellectual. There are those who are smart in this world. And they are the princes of the knowledge of this world. But all of that stuff comes to nothing. Verse 7, if you will.
Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
Amen. Listen, he's making clear there are things we're talking to you that were before we ever came on planet Earth, before planet Earth ever came into existence. God is revealing things of supernatural status that no earthly person or mind could ever know unless the Spirit of the living God would reveal those things to us. Why? Because look at what Hebrews 11 and 3 says. Through faith we understand. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, when we begin to look at everything that we do see with our natural eyes, we've got to know it didn't get here by any physical means or physical hands or makeup of men. God spoke it into existence with his word. We wouldn't know that because we were not here when he spoke it. Matter of fact, Genesis 1 tells us that the earth was void. Darkness filled the earth. There was nothing here on the earth. Earth wasn't earth as we know it. But God spoke, and everything he spoke, the Holy Ghost made it happen. How do we know that? By faith, by what God spoke in his word. Read on. Verse 8.
Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it,
talk,
they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Listen. God set a plan up. He knew when he made Adam and gave him free choice to be a free moral agent, to make his own mind up, God would tell him the best way
And he knew that he had a choice in following that best way God said or making his mind up to do something different. The serpent came along and gave him an alternative way. He chose to go the alternative way other than what God had given him. God could have stopped it. But he made man a free will moral agent, which meant he let him make up his own mind. He messed up. He messed up. The devil fooled him. He tricked him. He lied to him, and he believed the lie rather than to believe God and the truth. But look at what God did. Before Adam ever got here, before God ever made him here, God made a plan B. And in that plan B, he had already, listen, seen paradise lost and paradise regained through Jesus Christ. He made Jesus the seed of woman because woman was the instrument through which the devil used to get to Adam. So he was going to use that same woman that the devil used to fool Adam. He would use that same woman to get back on the devil himself. See, God had a plan. And see, God knew that the devil was going to continue to work his evil plots and plans. So God didn't tell the devil what he had in plan. So when he put man, listen, Jesus down here in the form of man, and even though he knew he was God's son, he didn't know God's plan for God's son. He didn't know that God's plan was to come through woman, work through woman, as Satan had worked through her in the beginning, to bring out this righteous seed who would do what the first Adam should have done. He would do what he didn't do and obeyed and honored God and showed him how man should live holy and righteous before a holy and righteous God. Now, God already knew that Satan was going to try and destroy Jesus, but he had already given Jesus the okay to humble himself and die on the cross. Here is the reason why. Because with Jesus being a holy and righteous person, the devil had no right nor authority to put his hand on what was holy. Therefore, in causing Jesus to be crucified by evil and wicked men, taking what they thought was his life, though Jesus laid down his life because it was a part of the plan to save mankind, he took away the authority out of Satan's hand, again giving man back the choice to choose Jesus as the Savior or stay with Satan, the evil one. So the choice that was taken in the beginning was restored back at Calvary. It was the plan that God made, so much so if the devil knew that God had planned to take away his authority and power, he never would have touched Jesus. And we never would have a Savior. Lord, I wish I had somebody here. And so the scripture clearly tells us, if the princes of this world knew God's plan, they never would have crucified Jesus. But God kept it hidden from them, because he knew his wisdom was greater than the world's wisdom. Only reason why most of y'all ain't shouting is because you ain't saved or you ain't got what he did to save us. But to God be the glory in this house today. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Now, let me go on to this verse that a lot of y'all shout on for the wrong reason. Go to verse 9. Go to verse 9.
Verse 9. But as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him.
Now we shout all over the place on that verse. Ooh, glory. I thank you, Jesus. I ain't see. It ain't her. Oh, what God's got prepared for those who love. Oh, you don't know, blah, 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 blah. And you're missing the whole boat. That ain't what God was talking about. And see, what we don't understand is this also is a prophecy. This is a prophecy of God's spirit and his power and his ability to bring to pass what he and his zeal, the Holy Spirit, would bring to fruition. Now, what you do need to know, my brothers and sisters, is the people who are not filled with the Holy Spirit of God do not know what things God has prepared for them that love him. They have no earthly idea. Why? Because the things of the Spirit belong to the Spirit. The things of the flesh belong to the flesh. And without the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit breaking down, disseminating, making the truth of God plain, we could never understand the things of God. The Holy Ghost, Jesus said, would be our teacher. He would bring back to our remembrance the things that he said to us. He would give us power to practice the principles for profit. He would be our paraclete, the one called alongside us in time of trouble to help us. He would be our comforter to comfort our hearts when our hearts would be troubled. Listen, there are so many benefits to the Holy Ghost in the life of the believer that we are missing out on so much that eyes have not seen, nor ears have heard, neither has it entered into the heart of men what God has prepared for them that love him. Verse 10, and I'm closing on this.
Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us.
Stop. Say it again.
But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit.
But God hath revealed. But, listen, God hath. Hath. You know what that means in English? Already done it. God has already revealed that by his Spirit. So verse 9 says, but he has not, you know, eyes have not seen, ears not heard, it has nothing in the heart of man. But verse 10 say he has.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So the question is, who know? The ones who know only know by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
The ones who do not know don't have the Holy Ghost revealing that to them, because he's the only one who can reveal those things. So when you begin to see how God has put together his word for it to make sense when the Holy Ghost connect the dots. Ah, now that makes sense, God. But you have revealed them unto us by your Spirit.
Yes.
Continue reading. Verse 10.
For the Spirit searcheth all things.
This way, stop right there. But the what?
The Spirit searcheth all things.
But remember, Isaiah told us in the 40th chapter in the 28th verse, there is no searching of his understanding. Didn't he say it? Well, maybe you remember the first part. It's important to realize that what he has done. He has done it. Hast thou not known? What he has done. He has done it. Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not. Neither is weary. And then Isaiah breaks it on us. There is no searching of his understanding. In other words, you can't figure God out. You ain't that smart. I don't care how smart you think you are, how many degrees you got behind your name, how much you are able to interpret other things. The word of God is mysterious and can only be revealed by the Spirit of the living God. You can't figure him out. He does things that make no sense to the most experienced and most intellectual minds. And yet to the simple man, God will speak to him and show him, and it makes sense to him when it blows the mind of the intellectuals. That's why God will take a man ain't got much education and put his spirit in him and save a world. And yet men who have gone to school and gotten many degrees with all of their theology, know all of their human abilities to reason and syllogistically deduce from cause to effect and come up with this, that, and the other, can't touch nobody, because what they're doing must be done by the Spirit and not the law of the Word of God. Just because you know it don't mean that it is alive in you.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
In month 8 of the I Commit to Pray campaign, the Voice of the Martyrs is praying persecuted Christians are able to rejoice in their suffering. Acts chapter 5 describes how the jealous Sadducees had the apostles arrested because they had been healing the sick and drawing great crowds. The apostles were flogged and ordered not to speak of Jesus in public. Upon their release, they celebrated. Not because of their freedom, they rejoiced, verse 41 says, because God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for his name. For more on the I Commit to Pray campaign, go online to persecution.com.
This is KAYT, Gina.